So the evening sermon is going to be a lot different than a normal sermon that I typically preach, and I kind of want to do a couple sermons. I'm doing kind of two different series, and the series tonight is on satanic movies, okay? Satanic movies. Now, here's the thing about Hollywood is they're all satanic, but I really just kind of want to unveil a few different films that I've seen, and just kind of, it's kind of crazy to me how satanic films are and the Hollywood industry is. But I think if you're just not aware of it, you just kind of go and you just think people are just making movies for fun or to make money. But really, there is a satanic agenda with Hollywood films. And when you know the Bible really well, it actually, you know, you start thinking about these films and you're like, wow, there's a lot that they're really just kind of ripping off from the scripture or are really perverting from the scripture. Because honestly, all the greatest stories told were already told in the Bible. And most Hollywood films, most movies, most books, all they do is just rip the Bible off. They just basically take the stories of the Bible and rip it off. But often they'll have a satanic slant with them. They'll basically pervert the scripture, they'll pervert the word of God, and they'll basically take it and make it into some kind of a satanic type story. So here's the thing. Even if you've never watched the film that I'm going to talk about this evening, I still think it's very profitable. I think there's a lot of things you can learn from the Bible this evening. So I hope you still pay attention. I'm also not advertising like, please go watch this film, all right? Just as an FYI. But I am hopefully planning on maybe taking some of the sermon and pairing it up with some of the scenes. So maybe later you can kind of see what I'm talking about just to get an idea. But I am going to be talking about The Truman Show this evening. Who's seen this movie, The Truman Show with Jim Carrey? Okay, actually more people than I thought. So I'm kind of surprised how many people have actually seen this movie. But The Truman Show is a movie featuring Jim Carrey. And Jim Carrey is the main star of this film. And I'm going to give you kind of an idea of what the film's about. And then I'm going to kind of talk about the scripture here. But I think Genesis chapter number 3 is a great place to kind of get a little bit idea of what's going on in the Bible and how this movie works. But in 1998, the film with Jim Carrey, he plays a character named Truman Burbank. And he's the star of an international television show named after him, The Truman Show. Okay, Truman is completely unaware that he's being filmed from his birth until nearly 30 years of age, with every moment broadcast live to faithful viewers. Says every part of Truman's life is quote-unquote counterfeit. Everything is a massive set known as Sea Haven. Directed by Christoph, the creator of the show, everyone that Truman knows, including his wife Meryl and best friend Marlon, are actors playing the facade created for him. Sylvia, an extra, is the only character who does not buy into this simulation, and when the affectionate bond occurs with Truman, she is forcibly removed from the show. Sylvia attempts to tell him the truth before being dragged away to never be seen on the show again. It says, in the beginning, Christoph created The Truman Show. He has elevated himself. Okay, so I just kind of trying to read a little bit of the plot from online. You can go online and read this, but essentially the premise of the show is that a corporate entity buys a baby. Okay, they buy a baby and they want to insert him into a TV show that's broadcast 24/7, but he doesn't know he's being filmed. So the entire TV show is they put him in a simulated environment where he's growing up, he has parents, he has friends, he goes to school, he lives in the city, and every single person in his life is a paid actor. So he's an unwanted child, essentially. It's kind of like an adoption, as it were, where parents just gave up their child. But instead of two parents taking them on, a corporate entity bought the child, okay? And they basically have put him in this TV show, and he's lived in this simulated environment for 30 years and still has no, he's none the wiser. He still believes he is just living a normal life. And it's kind of set in what would be like a 1950s perfect world. In fact, all of the music in the set is only classical music because it's not copyrighted. So basically, he's never heard any music but classical music. He lives in kind of this perfect scenario, perfect environment, and a sunny environment. And in fact, the TV show is filmed in a dome. So they're not even in a real environment. They're not outside. They're actually in a protected dome. Now, the dome, though, looks like the atmosphere, looks like the sky. So it's just basically, you know, 70 degrees and sunny every single day where this guy lives. And it's just kind of like a paradise, as it were. Everything goes perfectly. Every day's perfect. He has a perfect life, and everything seems perfect, but it's all fake. It's not real. It's not true perfection because it's a simulated environment. And basically the premise of the show is that he ends up kind of waking up to the fact that his life is not real, that there's something off about his life. There's been a couple times throughout the show's history where some of the paid actors kind of try to tip him off that it's not real. And they get forcibly removed from the show, and yet he's still kind of none the wiser. But the show kind of slowly unravels some of these truths as you go through. It just kind of starts out with a guy on television. Now, the thing is, it's literally broadcast 24/7. So there's a hidden camera everywhere, just constantly following him. And the director of the show, in fact, is so integrated in the show, he'll often be speaking in the ear of many of the actors, telling them exactly what he wants them to say throughout the show's history. They have product placement, so sometimes his wife, while they're in the kitchen, she'll just grab one of the products off the shelf, and she'll just be like, Coca-Cola, what a refreshing beverage. You know, and it's like this weird like commercial attitude or something, and it's kind of a bizarre thing. But if you've never known anything different, I guess it's kind of hard to not perceive that you're in this simulated environment. As he kind of goes through life, some of these things start to change. But before I kind of get into the film, I just want to start out by understanding verse number one of what we already read. Genesis chapter 3, look at verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. Okay, something you have to understand about the devil is the devil works in subtle ways. The devil is not up front. The devil doesn't come around saying like, I'm the devil, you know. What he does is he tries to trick people, deceive people, and he comes in a subtle way, not presenting who he truly is, not really presenting what he really wants, not giving you really any intentions necessarily, okay? When we think about Genesis chapter number 3, and you've read this many times, we know this story really well. But here's a pretty interesting question. Why is the serpent trying to trick Eve? Like, we don't even know what the motivation is, do we? We don't even really, I mean, again, we understand through reading lots of the Bible that he just wants to destroy mankind. He hates mankind. But I'm just saying, in this chapter, it doesn't describe, like, now the serpent hated Eve, and so he decided to trick her. Or we don't really even know what's going on. And what I will say is, you know, you would like to think, like, why do people make these Hollywood movies? You know, one person might say, well, I think it's to make money. But, you know, there's a lot of ways to make money. Well, I think it's just fun. Okay, maybe it's just fun, but there's a lot of ways to have fun. You know, what is the real agenda behind making these films? And I want to suggest to you that it's actually a sinister plan. It's a sinister, evil agenda to brainwash America, and not only America, the whole world, with a satanic agenda. That is their goal. Now, of course, if you're going to do that, you're not going to come up front and say, hey, guys, I want you to watch this film so you can be more like Satan, so you can believe like Satan, so you'll be damned to hell. No, what do they want? It's fun. Watch a film, watch this movie, and just enjoy, you know, seeing this. And look, we all, honestly, in our flesh, I'm sure all of us love movies. I can admit, I love movies. Like, I grew up, I watched every movie. I watched all of them. I mean, if you go back far enough, I've probably seen it. Now, in the most recent, you know, decade of my life, I probably haven't watched very many films, but, you know, before 2000, you know, I don't know, 9 or 10, I probably saw every movie you've seen. You know, you could probably bring it up to me. I probably owned it even at one point in time. And I might even watched it multiple times, okay? So I loved movies. I love film. And I thought it was really entertaining. But, you know, when you kind of start peeling back what's really going on, you start seeing this isn't really just fun. It's not just cool. There's actually an agenda here that they're trying to warp my mind. They're trying to influence me. And a lot of movies, a lot of films, they have suggestions throughout the film. That's where you get the product placement. You know, they constantly put certain products in front of you because they want you to buy that product, okay? Or certain attitudes or certain behaviors or certain things. They're basically predictive programming. In fact, when television itself came out, the Satanists rejoiced and said it was like the greatest day ever because they were basically going to influence the masses. If you understand who owns Hollywood, it's a bunch of Jews. And the Jews were very unpopular, very disliked. The government hated them, and yet they get to take over the film industry in Hollywood. They move the film industry from like New York to Hollywood, and they basically have been able to create the culture that they want. Because monkey see, monkey do. Why do you think that we have the world that we live in? It's often a reflection of what TV was 10 years ago. And that's scary when you think about what's on TV now. It's scary where it's headed. You know, first they have women in the workplace wearing pants, you know, taking over the family before it actually really happened. And then all of a sudden, 10 years later, it starts to happen, doesn't it? Right? You start having open homosexuals on television. And then what happens? They start coming out in the workplace. They start coming out everywhere else. Because basically, society often becomes a reflection, a mirror of what these films are like. And so, you know, that's why it's important to kind of expose what's really happening in some of these films. And it's crazy to me, if you've seen this movie especially, you know what I'm talking about, how satanic this film truly is. But let's just talk about the title. The Truman Show. The True Man. Now, there is a true man in the Bible. You know, that is Jesus Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's not a coincidence. And nothing that I'm going to be preaching this evening is a coincidence. There is a sinister agenda here. In fact, think about the plot that I just told you. This guy has lived his life until about 30 years of age. And then just all of a sudden we're going to have this transition in this person's character's life. You know, in Luke chapter number 3, the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ was about 30 years old when what? His ministry started. That's not a coincidence. And in fact, it says every part of Truman's life is quote unquote counterfeit. But here's the thing. Everything about Jesus Christ is not counterfeit. Everything about Jesus Christ is real. So often what these sinister movies will do is they'll take a character, make him kind of like Christ, but then they'll have an antithesis to something he truly is. Everything about Truman's life is fake, but here's something. Everything about Jesus' life is real. Think about what he said. I'm the truth, the way, and the life. So his life is real. Everything about Jesus is real. There's nothing counterfeit about Jesus or his world. But yet this other person that's the true man, everything about his life is fake and not real. It's a lie, okay? Now, who would want to convince you that everything that you believe is just a lie? How about Lucifer? How about Satan? How about, let's keep reading in Genesis chapter number 3. Verse number 1, he said to the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. What is that? That is the exact opposite of what God said. Why? He's basically saying, hey, everything you believe about reality is actually fake. It's not real. What God said is not true. He's holding you back from something that you would really benefit you, would be really positive to you, okay? Now, what's interesting about this film is that, you know, you kind of have two different aspects. And really, in the Bible, you kind of have two Adams. You have the Adam that's the first Adam, which is the first man. But then you have the second Adam, which is Jesus Christ. And in this film, I believe there's kind of two, they play both parts of this. The Truman Show kind of illustrates Jesus Christ, and it kind of illustrates Adam and Eve in the garden a little bit. But if you think about this film, the name of the creator of this film, okay, is Christoph. Okay? Now, that's not a coincidence either. Now, in fact, if you look up Christos and you kind of get a definition, it means the bearer of Christ. Now, who brought forth Christ? God the Father. Exactly. So Christos is like a pseudo God the Father type that's communicating to Truman throughout the entire show. And he's basically the one guiding his affairs, guiding his life, guiding his direction. And Truman, for the most part, is just unaware of his circumstances until one particular event. There's one event that finally enlightens Truman or sets off a series of events that causes him to realize his life is not what it truly is. Now, what happens is because he's in a dome, they have stage lights. A stage light falls from the sky in the middle of his like neighborhood and just falls and crashes onto the ground. So a light from heaven just falls and crashes down, and it causes him to think like, what's going on? Go to Luke chapter number 10. Go to Luke chapter number 10 in your Bible. Now, a light falling from heaven. That doesn't sound like anything we've read in the Bible, does it? As the first thing that awakens you to the fact that the reality or the world that you live in is not real, what is it that causes Adam and Eve to kind of doubt their reality? Isn't it Lucifer coming in? Now look at Luke chapter 10, look at verse number 18, the Bible says, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. So in fact, the Bible teaches that Satan is kind of like this fallen angel type, right? And that angels are considered like a light in the Bible in some contexts, in some ways. And so we have this light falling from heaven, exposing to Truman that there's something fake about his reality. That's the one that's going to enlighten him. This light is going to enlighten him that he's not really in this situation. You know, Lucifer means light bearer. Now, when you picks up this stage light, it has a name written on it. Sirius. Okay? It has the name Sirius and then 9 Canis Major, which is really interesting. Okay? Now, Sirius is an actual star in our galaxy. Okay? And Canis Major is a, like, section of space or section of the constellations. And what's interesting about Sirius, if you kind of, like, do a little bit of research, it's the brightest star in the night sky. So Sirius is the brightest star in the night sky. It's derived from basically a Greek word. And the star is in a Canis Majoris. Its Latin is Alpha Canis Majoris. And it has a nickname. The nickname is the dog star. The dog star. Because in the constellation Canis, it's kind of like a dog-related constellation series. Now, if you know anything about the occult or satanic, you know, theology or anything like that, you would realize that all of this stuff is used by the occult. In fact, Sirius is often a name associated with the devil himself. It's also throughout Egyptian mythology and history, they study a lot of this. And I even just kind of was doing a little bit of research. There was someone who basically talks about Sirius as being Satan. I went to this person's website, and they're like a pro, like Satan. Okay, so this is what they have to say. They say, Satan is the dog star Sirius, which is named Isis in Egypt. Now, I'm not saying that he is. I'm saying that people believe this. Okay, people believe that Sirius is a name for the devil. And they say that he's Isis. Now, if you actually study a lot of this, there's a conflation between Isis and another false Egyptian god. And they kind of get mixed up a little bit. So this person thinks it's Isis, but it could be another one. But essentially, Isis is a goddess that represents the polar opposite of our sun, which is male energy. Okay, and it's basically, it says there's a binary orbit with our sun, and our sun is 1 and Sirius is 0, because it's the literal antithesis. Now, what's the antithesis of Christ? The devil? What is Jesus often referred to as? The sun, okay? Now, she also says in this article that she writes about Sirius, she says, because it is a female energy, which is the opposite of the male sun, which provides light, it was demonized by the Christians as something dark or evil. Oh, I'm shocked. She says, the sun is God and the black sun is the dog star, Because dog is reverse of God. And that's interesting. You know, if you spell God backwards, what do you get? Dog. Think about reprobates. All right, there you go. Dogs were sacred in Egypt, okay? And in fact, there was a specific solstice that would let them know that the Nile River is going to flood, and it was based on this Sirius star. So that's where it also gets a lot of its canine origins or name. But apparently, also in kind of relation to this is the planet Venus. Venus is also a bright morning star. But what's interesting about Venus is that Venus travels a very specific pattern, and every 8 years, in coordination with the Earth, Venus forms a pentagram. Who knew that? Okay, no one. Okay, somebody. All right. Be careful. No, I'm just kidding. So you thought that the pentagram was just a random object, but no. It's literally, if you study, you know, astronomy, and you study the stars, and you map these things out, you can tell that every 8 years, the planet Venus is going to form a perfect pentagram with the sun at its center. Now, here's the thing. When you actually study the Bible, what did the super wicked, heathen, ungodly people do? They worship the stars, and they worship the planets, and they worship all these things, calling them gods, okay? And of course, that's where a lot of this New Age satanic stuff is coming from. That's where their symbols are coming from. That's where their pictures are coming from. This stuff is not just made up. This is real stuff. So it's not a shock that they're going to take some of that satanic occult language and whatever and put it directly into their film. Having this star fall from heaven, naming it Sirius. You think it's a coincidence they're writing Sirius on the stage light and you can pick it up and you can just see it just in plain sight? No. Those things are purposeful director additions, okay? And this pentagram is coming from Venus. You can look it up. It's also called a pentacle, basically the shape and how it is drawn. Even Wikipedia itself will agree it's a five-pointed star. And again, it's demonized because it's feminine energy or because it's just satanic, let's be honest, okay? Now, even from the occult, they're saying that these things are true. I even have a picture. Sometimes they'll say it's like a petal flower or whatever. You can check it out. It has an interesting ratio. But that is what awakens Truman to the fact that he's in this false reality. And if you know anything about Satanism or you know anything about the cult, what they want to do is they want to basically enlighten them and teach them that their reality is fake. That their reality is not true. That there's someone that wants to come and enlighten them, tell them about secret knowledge, new information that's going to reveal to them that everything that they live in is false. And one of the main ways that they attack the world that we live in is by attacking what they call the patriarchy. They have this thing, the patriarchy, that they want to attack, they want to undermine, because they basically say, hey, why do you think that men should be in charge? Because God said. Oh, but see, everything the Bible says is a lie. And then they bring in this, like, feminism. They bring in everything that's anti-biblical, and it's this enlightenment that people get, and they start thinking, like, everything that we know as a society is actually false. You know, men aren't really men. That's just a social construct. Women aren't really women. That's just something that we made up to suppress and hold down women. You know, where do you think all these ideas are coming from, my friend? They're coming from the occult. They're coming from the satanic. These are satanic ideas and satanic things that are being brought forth through mediums like Hollywood films, dragging people into feminism, dragging them into the occult, dragging them in by their sorceries and by all of their deception and by all of their deceit. You know, where does feminism come from? It comes from Satan. Now, of course, there's lots of mediums and modes. You know, they say, oh, it's coming from communism. Look, communism just one of the tools in the devil's handbag. But, of course, anything that's anti-biblical is coming from Satan. Satan is the author of all false doctrine, of all of the evil. He just gives it to man and lets man run with it, okay? So that is what basically enlightens Truman. As he kind of goes through his life, there's other weird things, like the radio starts signaling and telling him everything he's going to do and everything he's doing. He's like, that's weird. And then he like runs into a building and elevator opens and it's like a stage set. And he's just like, that's weird. That shouldn't happen. Then he tries to leave. And every time he tries to leave, just some random thing happens where he can't leave. You know, the bus gets shut down. All plane tickets are, you know, booked, so you can't get on there. And they tried to make him deathly afraid of water by killing his father, supposedly, in some kind of a boating accident. And so he's kind of grown up without a father in most of his life. Again, going to have a big influence on the feminism and everything else that's in the show. But what's interesting is that this character, Sylvia, is kind of like a high school sweetheart. They kind of like each other, but the directors don't want him to just marry whoever he wants. They kind of have a person picked out that's supposed to be his wife. So even though he makes this connection with this girl and they actually like each other, they have to rip her off of the film. But she's still like a main part of the film because she's constantly advocating for Truman to wake up and basically come after her rather than staying in this kind of fake life. Makes me think of now going back to our storyline of Genesis chapter number 3, the Adam and Eve scenario, okay? So we kind of talked about how, you know, Truman might be like this Antichrist picture, but he's really picturing Adam in a lot of ways. Because if you think about Adam, Adam is put in a paradise. Adam is put in a perfect environment, a perfect scenario, and he's been given a woman, okay? And what is the fall of Adam? Hearkening to the voice of his wife. A woman brings him down. And one of the, pretty much the main reasons why Truman throughout the film is basically wanting to leave this paradise is to go after this woman. A woman is the reason why he's going to leave this environment. He's chasing after this woman named Sylvia. And she has a conversation with Christoph, which is this the creator. They have a phone call in the film. She's like calling into the show, and he basically has to explain what's happening. And this is what she says to him. She says, "You're a liar and a manipulator, and what you've done to Truman is sick." Christoph responds by saying, "I have given Truman a chance to lead a normal life. The world, the place you live in, is the sick place. Sea Haven is the way the world should be. Each is seen demonstrating their care." So basically, I have basically just some quotes from the film, but she's saying, like, this is sick that you put this guy in this simulated environment. He argues, no, letting him be in the real world where there's all this evil and sin and bad stuff or whatever, that's the real sick place, okay? Now, it's not really hard to see through what the conversation is, isn't it? Where you basically have a picture-perfect Garden of Eden where mankind can live in, as opposed to being outside of the garden. Now, if you're outside of the Garden of Eden, you live in what? The sinful world, don't you? Where there's all manner of evil and all this kind of stuff. And does God want us to live in a sinful world? No. God wants us to live in a perfection. God wants to live us to live in a Garden of Eden, as it were. Why did Adam and Eve get kicked out of the garden? For sinning. For sinning against God, for rebellion. And if they ate of the tree of life in that state, then sin would permanently be in this world. So God has to come and eradicate sin first before he can allow us to re-enter into that state of the Garden of Eden and live forever, because God doesn't want this, you know, doesn't want a permanent world of sin. Christoph has created this perfect world for Truman to live in, and she's saying it's sick for him to live in it because it's fake, because it's not real. So what is Satan trying to do? Satan's trying to say the way that God wants you to live is a fake, manipulated world that he wants you to live in. No, come with me and live with me where there's freedom. And basically, that's what a lot of people that are Satanists will say. I would rather rock with the devil in hell than to be a slave in heaven. And they basically insinuate that serving God or being with God in heaven or paradise is being a slave, and being in hell is freedom, when it's the exact opposite. And of course, she immediately calls him what? A liar. What does the devil do immediately when he's in the garden? He calls God a what? A liar and a manipulator. And what he's doing is sick, and he's holding him back. What is Sylvia so concerned that Truman's being held back from the freedom of going in this world? And here's the freedom of the knowledge of the real world. Think about this. Truman doesn't know what good and evil is because he lives in this simulated little environment, doesn't he? He's encapsulated in a perfect environment. So if he goes out of that, he would have what? The knowledge of good and evil. What does the devil come tempting Adam and Eve with? Is the knowledge of good and evil. But what did that benefit mankind? You know, that didn't benefit mankind. It doesn't benefit Truman to necessarily live. Now, again, I'm not trying to advocate in this film either way because I don't really care. But what they're trying to do is they're trying to posit God's position in the Bible as being an evil, satanic thing. And you need to join the devil with this freedom, this rebellious freedom scenario. Now, there was another creator, producer of the show. His name is Moses. Another coincidence. Moses and Christoph are the ones that basically come up with the show, and they have their conversations about it. And it kind of, basically Christoph has to improve the show that Moses created, okay? Because Moses creates kind of a flawed show. And I'm not going to go too far into that, but a lot of biblical parallels that can be drawn from that as well. Now, Truman has a chance to live without the knowledge of good and evil, doesn't he? Because he can live in the simulated environment without it, but he's basically presented with this idea of leaving at the end of the film, and he's going to gain this knowledge of good and evil by leaving this environment. Because right now, he doesn't know what that's like. He's never had a real moment. Okay, so that's what the devil's trying to offer. Now, the devil also is trying to offer to Adam and Eve to what? To be as gods. Notice he says in verse number 5, "For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." Now here's the thing. Christoph lives in the real world. Christoph knows what good and evil is like. Okay? Since Truman's never been outside this, you know, simulated environment, he doesn't know. But as soon as he leaves the simulated environment, he would know what good and evil are like. And basically, what is being presented is the idea of being like Christoph now. Christoph's trying to hold Truman back from that real world experience that is supposedly so much better. And yet, if Truman would live in the same world as Christoph, he would have the same knowledge as him. He'd be like him. But here's the problem. With the knowledge of good and evil, I didn't become God. I'm not God. I'm not even close to God. You know, that knowledge didn't benefit me in any way, shape, or form. You know, does it really benefit you? You know, the Bible says that we're supposed to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. And we're supposed to have a lot of knowledge when it comes to things that are good. But aren't we supposed to be simple concerning that which is evil? You know, it's never, in doing research, sometimes you come across information that's just not good information. Information that you wish you could unlearn. Unsee, everything, okay? And really, anytime I've come across that information, I never thought, like, well, I'm really glad I know that. You know, if someone were to say, hey, we know exactly what Jeffrey Epstein's done on that island, knowing that detail would not benefit your life. It would not posit you anything, okay? Now, knowing good, you know, there's really no limit to that, but at the same time, having that knowledge of good and evil is going to really warp the mind and cause a lot of problems. That's why it's also important to keep your children innocent. And what Hollywood wants to do is it wants to put a lot of weird stuff into children's films to try and take away their innocence. Every Disney film, what is the whole premise? Getting married or falling in love or being with your love or whatever. Why does a 5-year-old need to worry about who they're going to marry at 5 years old? At 6 years old, at 7 years old. And look, I fell hook, line, and sinker for that. When I was in second grade, I promised some girl that we were going to get married. Now, praise God, that didn't happen. I married my wife, okay? But I'm just saying, like, I was, you know, obsessed with, you know, marriage and who I was going to marry. And I know that watching films growing up had a major impact on that. Because you're constantly watching it, you're constantly spoon-fed that, whatever. And I've noticed a huge difference in my children not being spoon-fed television and movies all the time. They could care less about that stuff. And my wife told me this, and I never really thought about it, but it's probably because she was a little more innocent than I was growing up. But she's like, when I was a little girl, all of us sisters, we thought we were just going to marry dad, you know, because they're just innocent and they didn't think any different. They never want to leave their parents or anything like that, okay? But then you watch Frozen with little Ella, who wants to run away and be her own woman and marry whoever she wants, you know, marry another girl or some nonsense or something. It's like that idea being planted in the youth today has warped and corrupted their mind. And this stupid Truman Show trying to suggest to you that life without God's constraints is going to make you freer or make you better is never the truth.
Right.
And it doesn't bring freedom. In fact, truth brings you freedom. The Lord Jesus Christ brings you freedom. God's commandments bring you freedom. What does not bring you freedom is doing whatever you want. That will bring you jail time. That will bring you death. That will bring you destruction. That will bring you chains and bars of sin. Oh, I can do whatever I want. I can drink as much alcohol as I want. Try stopping. I can do as much LSD as I want. Try stopping. I can sleep with as many people as I want to. Okay, well, try getting rid of STDs. Try getting rid of any of these, you know, horrible things that have been contracted. I believe, you know, there's a famous trial going on right now. It's like Johnny Depp and Amber Heard. Who's heard about this? And, of course, they're basically just airing out all of their dirty laundry. And, you know, and I was, like, reading about them. And I'm pretty sure, you can look this up. I'm pretty sure that Johnny Depp had to, like, admit at one point that he has, like, several STDs. No, I'm sorry. This was Jim Carrey. Jim Carrey had to admit that he had three different STDs. He has, I don't know if I put this in my notes or not. He has chlamydia. He has herpes. And off the top of my head, there's another one that he has. But, no, he doesn't have AIDS. I don't know if it's confirmed or not, but he basically had to admit that he had all these different STDs in like some kind of a court filing or something like that. And it's like, oh, I have all this freedom. How is that a freedom? An STD?
No.
Is chlamydia freedom?
No.
Is bastard children freedom? Is abortion freedom? I mean, you know, are these things, there's no, they want to present this idea of freedom, but you know, there's never really freedom in sin. Oh, I'm free to leave my parents. But you know what's not free? Your apartment and utilities and your car and everything else that you have to start paying for. You know, it's like the idea of leaving mom and dad sounds really cool until you realize how much it costs. I remember this. My parents were like trying to kick me out of the house. And I was like, that's awesome. You know, I'm thinking like, sweet, I want to live on my own. And then I started calculating like how much it costs. And I was just like, I want to stay here. Like, I don't want to leave. Like, I don't have $2,000-$3,000 a month, you know, going to college or whatever. In fact, I was so poor, I was made fun of by everyone. I became, like, the cheapest person. I mean, I would make Jews proud how I lived in college, okay? I didn't buy anything. I was so cheap. I never filled up my gas tank. And so, because I didn't have enough money. I would get, like, 5 or 7 gallons worth of gas at a time just because I had no money. My parents gave me, I want to try and remember, it was something like $1,200 a month. And I had a mortgage payment at the time. It was like $700 or $750 bucks a month. So I'm already left with only like $450. And this is, we're not talking like gas, water, utilities, my like gas with my truck, everything else. And then I had a roommate, he would give me like $400 bucks a month. So I have like $800 to pay all of my utilities and food, and I couldn't even survive. I would just go and shop for groceries at my parents' house. Like when they weren't home, I would just go and raid their pantry and just basically buy, you know, everything. Anytime we went out to eat, I would just get a cup of water and just whatever food people wouldn't want to eat. I mean, I was the cheapest person you could meet. Okay. Why? Because I couldn't afford anything else. And you say, why were you so cheap? Because I couldn't afford anything else. I mean, that's just how life is. And I have to say, while I don't recommend living on your own, that actually helps you appreciate, you know, money and things that you have. Being poor actually gives you character, whereas being rich does not give you any character at all. It ruins your character many times. But I bring up that story in basic essence to try and tell you that, you know, the lies that are coming from the devil that sound so good, living on your own is just so much fun and so much good. You know, all it did was cost me a bunch of money, heartache, and I made the worst decisions of my life when I lived on my own. Sins that I never thought I was ever going to do in my entire life, I did when I lived on my own. Like, there was plenty. I went to college while I was with my parents, wasn't committing any of these horrible sins. Then I live on my own, committed all kinds of sins that I wish I had never done. And it wasn't bringing me any freedom. That wasn't true freedom that I had. Okay, so it's silly to believe these lies that are coming from the devil that are saying, hey, yeah, reject what he's giving you. Reject the world that he's trying to put you in. You know, his paradise isn't a real paradise. It's fake. It's not real. No, that's not true. Of course, the fall comes through woman. Now, what's interesting is at the end of this film, and that's kind of what I've been focusing on, is kind of this climax of, is Truman going to leave the show or not? Okay. And essentially at the brink of the show, he runs into the wall. He's been on a boat and he's trying to sail away. He runs into the wall and then he gets out of this boat and then he starts walking on this ledge. So it looks like he's walking on water. Okay. Of course, the symbolism there. Then there's a staircase into heaven and he walks on the staircase to heaven. And then basically has a conversation with Christoph, and he's basically contemplating whether or not he's going to leave. I have a little bit of this. I want to kind of give you their conversation. So Christoph is going to talk to him. He talks from, he's a voice from heaven. Okay. It's just, it's crazy. It's Truman. He's like, you can speak, I can hear you. And he says, who are you? He says, I am the creator of a television show that gives hope and joy and inspiration to millions. Says, then who am I? You are the star. Makes it, I'm kind of wondering, there's a voice from heaven telling a certain man that he's the star of the show. How about when Jesus Christ gets baptized and there's a voice coming from heaven? And who's it all about? Jesus. He says, was nothing real? Says, you are real. That's what made you so good to watch. Listen to me, Truman. There's no more truth out there than there is in the world I created for you. Same lies, same deceit. So what is being presented? Lies over here, lies over there. But yet, there is no lies with God. There is no lies from the Father. There is no lies in the Word of God. There, that's why they want to basically put you in this situation. Oh, church is a lie, Christianity is a lie, and the world's a lie. But you know what? I'd rather make my own fortune, make my own way, than just live in a lie. But here's the problem with that philosophy, is that there is no lie with Jesus Christ. There is no lie with God the Father. There is no lie with the Bible. He said, in my world, you have nothing to fear. I know you better than you know yourself. Says, you never had a camera in my head. Said, you're afraid. That's why you can't leave. It's okay, Truman. I understand. I've been watching you your whole life. Interesting, there's a guy watching somebody their whole life. Sounds like God the Father, wasn't it? I was watching when you were born. I was watching you when you took your first step. I was watching you on your first day of school. The episode when you lost your first tooth. Now, what's interesting is this boat that he's riding out on has a number on it. The number is 139. It's really clear. Why don't you go to Psalms 139 in your Bible? Psalm 139 in your Bible. Look at verse number 1. The Bible says, O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down-sitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. There's not a word of my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance or fashion, when yet there was none of them. Oh, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Notice that the Bible teaches that you can't escape God. God is everywhere. God sees everything. God was with you from birth till now. God is everywhere. You can't get away from God. And of course, what are they presenting? They're presenting the idea of Christoph is in his head. Christoph is always with him. Christoph knows everything about him. But what is the satanic agenda? God doesn't really know everything about me. God doesn't know my thoughts. He's not in my head. I'm in control. I'm in charge. I can get away from him. What's being presented? That you can go through this door. There's a door that Christoph's going to go and he's going to leave, and Christoph's going to have no control over anymore. Christoph won't see him anymore. Christoph won't have any basic power over his life anymore. But here's the thing. You can't escape God, my friend. Notice that it said, hey, even if you go into hell, he's still there. What is the satanic agenda? Oh, you can get rid of God. Man created God. But you know what? The Bible teaches that God created man. And you cannot escape God, period. Whether you like it or not. There is no door that you can walk through to leave, to get out of the show. So essentially, you have him saying, I've seen everything. Then it cuts to Sylvia again. The woman who wants him to leave. The woman who wants him to get out of there. And she kind of whispers in her breath, please God. As if she's praying that he'll leave. She's the good one. Then we have Christoph saying, you belong here with me. Talk to me. Say something. Well, say something. And then he blasphemes God's name. Why? Because he's not a true God figure. They want to make God look like a bad character. They want God the Father to be bad. Truman says, in case I don't see you, good afternoon, good evening, good night. And then he leaves. But this is how he leaves. Oh, I wonder what symbol that is. Standing up way high, giving a crucifix pose, and then leaves the show. You know, it's insane the amount of satanic doctrine that they put in these films, all the pictures, all the symbols they have of this guy. He lifts up and puts himself in this crucifix-type pose, and it just goes to show that, you know, these people are not putting all this imagery, putting all this symbolism, putting all these numbers in there on accident. No, they're influenced by the devil. Now, I will suggest to you this. I don't think that every single person in Hollywood that makes these films knows what they're doing. I believe that the devil knows what he's doing, and he's influencing people, and he's pulling them and manipulating them. Many of them are thinking they're just making a film. And they're like, put 139 on the flagship. And they're like, okay, sure. You know, what if we have a camera light fall from heaven? They're like, sure, that sounds like a good idea. Not even realizing the devil's whispering in their ear, telling them these things. Trying to get them to do these poses. Try to get them to do this symbolism. Now, I think some of them know. like their producer. Now, if you look up, The Truman Show, it was produced by a guy named Scott Rudin. Okay. Scott Rudin was born and raised in Baldwin, New York, on Long Island, in a Jewish family. In fact, he's not the original producer. He, like, bought the script from someone. Also, Scott Rudin lives with his husband, John. Just a shock, isn't it? I'm just so shocked that this film that's so satanic is produced by the synagogue of Satan, literally. Okay. One thing that's also interesting is the boat that he was on to ride out there in the sea. Guess what the name of the boat is? Santa Maria. It's kind of interesting. It's funny, I was looking at a video about it, and it's like, all these flat earthers were so excited that it was a dome environment. Of course, they have to put that in there, don't they? But what is Satanism really trying to suppose? It's saying that God's holding you back. What is the goals of Satan? God's holding you back. When he's talking to Adam and Eve in the garden, God's trying to hold them back from what? Being gods, having this extra knowledge, extra special. And look, what is the devil trying to tell Christians? Hey, don't be a fundamental Baptist. They're holding you back. They're holding you back from fun. Women, don't submit to your husband. They're trying to hold you back. Men, don't submit to your boss at work. You're trying to be held back. Don't go to a church and submit to a pastor. They're trying to hold you back. Don't follow all the rules of the Bible. God's trying to hold you back from fun. And look, it's put into every single one of these movies, the satanic agendas of being held back from all the fun of sin, the deceitfulness of sin. Oh, God's lying to you about something. Look, the Bible's never lying to you about anything. This is the truth. This is the reality. Oh, freedom's built in rebelling against God. Your eyes will be opened if you just eat of the forbidden fruit, if you just watch the film. And, you know, if you watch this film, you could find probably even more things than I just kind of talked about this evening. The goal is not to say, watch the movie, okay? The goal is to help you realize that you don't just accidentally make a film with all this symbolism. You don't accidentally make a film like Adam and Eve. You don't actually make a film like Jesus Christ. You don't actually call it The Truman Show. You don't actually create, the creator's name's Christoph, okay? None of that stuff is on accident. It's all on purpose. And I could literally probably take every one of these movies and show you the exact same thing. But you know what's weird? Some Christians do the exact opposite. They'll take this movie and they'll be like, let's find Christ in this movie. And they'll be like, oh, this Truman guy's like Jesus. You know, this stupid book called, like, Finding Jesus in Harry Potter. Look, it's out there. I went to churches where they're, like, recommending this book. And I'm thinking, like, no, Jesus is not. What they do is they put a fake, perverted Jesus in these books, in these movies and in these films. Okay. And if you let your children just watch Hollywood movies and just watch TV unfettered, you're literally letting the devil teach and train them. You might as well just ship them off to the occult. And you say, oh, it's nice, it's cool, it's fun. No, it's subtle. It's subtle, the programming that they put into the minds of our youth and the minds of people today. Where do you think they're parroting all this stuff? It's coming from Hollywood. It's coming from the synagogue of Satan, literally. Okay, the devil gave it to the Jews, the synagogue of Satan. The Jews put it in all the films, and then the films are giving it to America. Why is it they use celebrities for all of their propaganda? Because everybody looks up to the celebrities and whatever they say. You know, it's like, why do I care about what these spoiled brats think about anything? Who made them a politician? Like, what do they know about economics? What do they know about anything in the real world? They know nothing. They're just pawns and tools of the devil. And think about it. They're a paid actor. Why would you believe anything that they say? They are a glorified whore. You say, what is a whore? A whore does things she doesn't want to do for money. What is an actor? It's a whore. And you have to say, oh, well, they're not whores. Yeah, they literally will even do that kind of stuff in some of their scenes. whore type acts. What, for money? What do you think a whore is? Look, all these men and all these women, he's like, I would never say that or do that. What about for 10 bucks? What about for 100 bucks? What about for 100 million bucks? Then you start seeing what people are really like. Then you start saying, oh, I would say and do anything. It's like, just because you're a whore. You have no standards. And of course, they find the worst people that'll say and do anything to basically ship out their satanic filth and their satanic agenda in this world. And I'm telling you something, you know, I don't own a television for one reason, because I don't want to just let my mind and my children's minds be warped by this filth and smut. There's technically nothing wrong with the television. There's technically nothing sinful about the screen, okay? But you better be super careful what you put in front of your children's eyes. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. My wife cries when she sings that song because it's true. And I can tell you right now, there is a lot of things I've seen I wish I'd never seen. A lot of things I've heard I wish I'd never heard. And we need to raise a generation that's different. Say, oh, it's not as fun. Yeah, okay, I guess the devil's fun to you. But you know what? It's not fun to me. It's not cool to me. I don't like it. And when you actually show how satanic these films are, how can you then get up and say, like, please let my kids watch Satanism. Watch the occult. Be against God. And I have a couple more films that I want to go through, but I'm telling you, it's in all of them. Virtually. I mean, there's nothing safe out there anymore. That's why, you know, you're a fuddy-duddy. Now I'm a fundamental Baptist. Okay? And you know what? I still have lots of fun. In fact, my life is tons of fun. Watching TVs is boring. It sucks anymore anyways. So praise God, it keeps getting worse. So I'm not even tempted anymore. The shows are literally called Lucifer. Devil's like, I don't even have to be subtle anymore. He's just like, you know, I'll just put all the filth out there anymore. But even the old stuff, be careful what you put in front of your face and let your kids watch. All right, let's close in prayer. Thank you, Heavenly Father, so much for the Word of God. Thank you for giving us the greatest story ever told in the Bible. And that is about the Lord Jesus Christ, the only real true man. I pray that we would be leery of what Hollywood and what this world is trying to get us to believe, trying to get us to do. That you would help us to have a desire to protect ourselves, and not only ourselves, but our children, from satanic agendas, from satanic ploys, propaganda, the filth and the smut that's in this world. And I pray that we would realize that there's no fun or freedom in rebellion to God's word. That your truth gives us true liberty and gives us true freedom. And if our society would get back to the Word of God as their source of entertainment, we could see a major revival in this country. And I pray that we would have good, clean fun, and we would reject the ploys of the devil. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen.